Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So much challenging than others.
Yes. There's what to say today, hopefully. So, okay, new parak. Parak Makol Ma'arvin, third parak of Maseches Erevin. This parak is about Eruv Chatzeros and Eruve Tchumen, as we'll see. Mostly Eruve Tchumen, but we'll touch on both types. Says the first line of the Mishnah: Bakol Ma'arvin Umishtatfin Chutz Min Hamayim Umin Hamelach. As we learned before, that Mida Oraisa, a enclosed area, is a Rishus Hayachid. If you have enclosure on all four sides, for sure. But midrabanan, if you have houses that empty into a yard, and the yard is meshutef, is owned by all the different parties that open up their houses, open up to the area. So Chazal said midrabanan, you need an eruv chatzeros. That means put some type of food, which we'll talk about in a second, into one of the houses, and it's as if all of them are Rashi's lashon here is on the third line. V'nimsu kulam rishus achas. It's all one rishus. All the bnei achatzer are like one bias. They're all darin besocho, one big happy family, and therefore that's how you create an erev chatzeros. The same type, a similar type of idea is shituf. What shituf? That shituf mavos. Just like you create an erev chatzeros to create all the batim into one big happy family to be able to carry in a chatzer, so too all the chatzeros that empty into a mavui, it's the same type of idea. It's called a sheet of mavos, not an erev chatzeros. There's a little differences between the two, but that is their parallel concepts. So b'kol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz b'damayim min ha'melach, with all types of food. What type of food do you have to use for erev chatzeros or an erev tchumen? So you can use b'kol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin with anything except for water and salt. Because water and salt, Rashi says, are not devar mazon. They're not called food. They're not. They don't give sustenance, and therefore you're not allowed to use them for eruv or shituf. Which eruv? I said before both, but let's talk about it a little more specifically. Which type of eruv are we talking about in this first line of the Mishnah? So Rashi says clearly, b'kol ma'arvin eruv chatzeros v'tchumen. Rashi says both. Eruv chatzeros and tchumen. And all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, just to give you one, look at the first Tosus, v'kol ma'arvin, pirish b'kuntres, eruv chatzeros v'tchumen, v'ei nireh, to be eruv chatzeros, be an apostle, kuliyam, v'er kador. Later in the Masechta, it says, for eruv chatzeros, you need bread. So and that's Mefurish Gemara over there. So everybody asked that on Rashi. So they argue, and they say, v'kol ha'i pirka mucha t'ari b'tchumen. The whole parak is about eruv tchumen. So therefore, they argue on Rashi. So what's the shot of Rashi? It's a difficult one. The Meiri suggests that maybe Rashi doesn't really mean to say la halacha. He says, "Umashim pirshak doli harabanim." Doli harabanim is the Meiri's nickname for Rashi. Now, the Meiri we mentioned before, for some reason, doesn't quote by name any of the earlier Rishonim. But he has a nickname for all of them, so we know what he's talking about. Gdolei HaMachabrim is the Rabbim. Gdolei HaMafarshim is Rashi. Gdolei there's another name for the Raivin, another name for the Hashlama. So Gdolei HaMafarshim, Gdolei HaRabbanim, here he says is Rashi. Masha Pirshu Gdolei HaRabbanim Be'iru Bechatzeros Lo Derech Psakam Ruha El Apirish Sugya. So he's explaining, he's giving pshat in the Sugya, but he's not really saying that LaHalacha. So I don't exactly know what that means. Like, what does it mean that he's giving pshat in the... sugya. Okay, that's one point on Rashi. But why isn't mayim and mazon allowed? What can you use? So I mentioned before Rashi that it's because you need dvar mazon. You need a dvar mazon. So I saw a very interesting part of this Yosef. So there's Yerushalmi on this Gemara, right? The Yerushalmi is parallel. The Talmud Yerushalmi is parallel to the Talmud Bavli. So at the beginning of Parag Gimel in the Yerushalmi, he says, why not water and salt? Because it's in Yonah Diyom on the Parsha. He says because water and salt are. Klala related to them. Water, Mayim, has the Mabul related to them, this week's Parsha. And salt has Eishes Lot in next week's Parsha. So you have the Mabul and Lot, so that's why you don't use those for Erev Chatzeros. Oh, fine. So what does this do for us? There's a Medrash Pliya. Medrash Pliya is whenever you have two lines of a Medrash that seem to have nothing to do with each other, it's called a Medrash Pliya, and you say, what's that? What's the shot of this Medrash? Medrash Pliya. So there's a Medrash Pliya that says, Hashem says, "Hamchas ani me Abraham." Right? Am I going to not tell Abraham that I'm going to destroy Sodom? So, what does the Medrash Pliya say? "Hamchas ani me Abraham." Amar Hashem, "Eruve chatzeros gilisi lo lomachar hifucha shel stone v'lo agala lo." I told the mayor of chatzeros yesterday. I'm not going to tell him about stone. Ma'in yishmita is l'arsinai. Right? What is Erev Chatzeres have to do with turning over stone? So says the Pardes Yosef and Parshas Vayera. Says that's Pshat. Now I already told him Erev Chatzeros, and turning over stone is going to teach me a halacha about Erev Chatzeros. So of course I have to tell him, because there's going to be a new halacha about Eishes Lot that's going to be created here. He says B'Yisham Mefarish Shem Yishma Klalav. He says that's the part. So that's with the Medrash plea. Okay, second line of the parak. V'hakol nikach b'kesef meiser, and just like we just said, all foods can be used for an erev tchumin, except for water and salt. You could buy anything with meiser sheni money, except for water and salt. Right, there's a mitzvah that we know every year. We give bikurim, then we give truma to the kohen, then we give meiser rishon to the levi. At least in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, it's meiser. And every year it's meiser rishon, and then certain years we take meiser sheni. Meiser sheni, we take the fruit ourselves and bring it out to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim, and it has kedusha. The meiser sheni fruit has kedusha. But what if it's too much fruit? Let's say I live far away from Yerushalayim, it's too much to schlep. So the halach is, you're allowed to be podeh the meiser sheni fruit. You're allowed to switch the kedusha from the fruit onto money, bring up the money to Yerushalayim, and then buy stuff there and partake of it in Yerushalayim. It's much easier. And the kedusha switches back from the money to the items that you buy. So what are you allowed to buy with meiser sheni money in Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah says anything. Hakol nika because of meiser, you're allowed to buy anything. Again, the same two exceptions. Chutz min amayim min amelach. But you're not allowed to buy mayim or melach. Why can't you buy salt or water by meiser sheni? So here Rashi quotes the Gemara later on that says no, it's laf pri mi pri. As we're going to see in the Gemara on Amud Beis today, Meiser Sheni money, one has to buy something that was born of something else. An animal. It's born of another animal. So that's one of the requirements for what you're allowed to buy for Meiser Sheni. Pre-mi-pre. So salt and water is not pre-mi-pre. It's not something that comes from something else. It's there. The water and the salt are there. So that's why it's excluded from Meiser Sheni. What about, it's not food either. Right? According to the first line of the Gemara. So we'll talk about that soon. Third line. Hanoder ben Amazon. It's all related to the water and salt team. If somebody makes a neder that they are not going to partake of any food, so Mutter ben Amazon and Malach, you're allowed to partake of water and salt, again, because that does not have the status of food. Ma'arvin, new halacha regarding the Erev. Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin l'Yisrael b'truma. Chiddush, you're allowed to use wine to make your Erev, even if you're a Nazir. Right, even though a Nazir, one of the three things a Nazir can't do is drink wine, so this is daraisa for him to drink wine, but still you're allowed to use the Erev for out of wine for him, because other people can partake. You don't need, according to the Shita, you don't need the person himself to be able to partake. Uli Yisrael b'truma, and Yisrael is allowed to use truma. Right, truma is asur ba'achila to a non-kohen, to a czar. Hana'a, as long as you're not destroying it when you get Hana'a, I'm allowed to walk past the store and smell truma. If you're Yisrael, just you're allowed to eat truma. So here is mutter by Hana'a, and again, even though you can't eat it, Yisrael is allowed to set up his Erev with truma, because it's mutter to a kohen. Subcha somer bachul. Subcha says, no! Subcha says, Yisrael can't eat truma, so he can't do it, he can't use truma, so he has to use chulin. What about the first line? The Slipkas argue on the wine and the Nazir case, so that's going to be discussed in the Gemara. Is there a difference? We could already think. Is there a difference between wine to a Nazir and Truma to a Yisrael? Why would Slipkas only argue on the Truma case, but he would allow the wine to a Nazir? Oh, because there are more people, there are only a few Nazirim, so we'll talk about that in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, and that's in terms of types of food. Now we get the placement. As we will see, the Erev has to be in the same Rishus as you are. That's one of the halachas. We had that a little bit in a couple of places. The Erev is all the way up in a tree, and a Rishus HaYachin, and you're in a Rishus HaRabim. When Shabbos starts, that's not good. You and your Erev have to be in the same halachic Rishus at Beit HaShemesh when Shabbos starts. So says the Mishnah, Ula Kohen Beveis HaPras, and you're allowed to set up an Erev for a Kohen in a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a place that is Tamei Midrabanan. A place where there was a kever there that was plowed over, and you don't know, any place in the field might have a part of a mace there. So you're allowed to put that the Erev there in the base of process, as we're going to see, because it's only a Suffolk Drabanan. And there's a way to get in there without, with a Kohen, like blowing, and making sure he is not stepping or being Mahil on any parts of the mace. So a Kohen is allowed to put it in the base of process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not just the base of process. Afilu base ha, the gears on the side is the base HaKvaris. Even in the Beis HaKfaras, even in the cemetery, actually, midaraisa, because there are ways to be chotzeitz and to go in there and eat. You're allowed to put yourself into a certain type of box and get in there to eat. So therefore, even the Kohen can partake of it. Somebody told me yesterday afternoon, I was learning this in the Beis Medrash, somebody said that there are these types of boxes they have for the Hasidei Chabad who want to go visit the Rebbe's Kever. So they have these types of boxes that even Kohanim are able, these non-tuma boxes, to be able to get close to the Kever. I never saw it. I thought it was very interesting. I'd love to see one. But that's basically this halacha. There are types of boxes that if you create it, it's a certain amount above the ground and a certain amount wide and the volume inside. You have to work out the details of the halacha, but that's his halacha. So a Kohen is able to get in. So therefore, you could put his Erev even in a cemetery. Taptosis just points out, why is it interesting that why didn't the last line of the Mishnah say you put it into a cemetery? Why? Because the Yisrael could go there. What do you need the Kohen to go there? What did we just say in the earlier line of the Mishnah? He said you could put wine for a Nazir because the Yisrael could partake of it. You could put Truma for a Yisrael because a Kohen could eat it. So why don't you just say you could put it into a cemetery because Jews could get it? Right? But the Gemara has to work out the way that no, it's, even the Kohen could go in there. Who cares if the Kohen could go in there and get it? So Tosfos says, he doesn't really explain it so much, but he just points out, there must be a difference in the problem between place and chefza. When it comes to the chefza, it seems to be that as long as this chefza is inherently roi to some people, that's enough. You don't need the chefza to be roi to the person involved. Mashiach, when it comes to place, no. By place, the Mishnah goes more out of its way. It has to be roi for you to get into that place. Even though you might have said that, no, this is just a technical problem, you can't get in there. You might have said this is less of a problem. The Gemara seems to treat it as more of a problem. That if you can't get in there, then even if other people can get in there, that's more of a problem. Mashiach, by the chefza, if the object is roi for other people, that would be good enough. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lemeidim in aklalos v'afil b'makom shenemar bochutz. Rabbi Yochanan made this statement. You can't learn things from rules. Whenever a Mishnah says, the rule is as follows, there are always a lot of exceptions. Even if the Mishnah says, except for such and such, there are other exceptions. That's Rabbi Yochanan's statement. You can't learn things from rules. The Radvaz and Achuva points out that we can't apply this principle. Oh, okay, that's the rule. Okay, there are a lot of exceptions. Don't worry, a lot of exceptions. You know, you can't do this on Shabbos. Oh, okay. But we can't apply this. Radvaz says, if Chazal and the Gemara applied this, it's because they had a Mesorah, they had an understanding that there were more exceptions. But obviously, usually, if the Mishnah says a rule, the Gemara says, what is this to include? And we don't assume there are exceptions unless the Gemara says it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Whenever it says a rule, there are other exceptions, even if it says chutz, even if it says, these are the only two exceptions. For example, we're going to get to in our Mishnah. That's what we're relating to. But says the Gemara, mitzakamar afilu b'makam shemar bochutz, since Rabbi Yochanan's statement was, even in a place where it says chutz, so it must be that Rabbi Yochanan, when he made this statement, wasn't talking about a place where it says chutz, because he's talking about whatever context, and he says the rule, you know, klal, whenever you have a klal, don't move from klalos, and then he says, and even if it would say chutz, so it sounds like he's talking about some other place. So the Gemara wonders, where did he make the statement in the first place? And then, wherever he made the statement, he said, and even in a place where it says chutz, you know, so then you would apply the principle. So says the Gemara, michal delav hachakoi, since he says, even in a place where it says chutz, it's mashma, that he didn't say it right here on our Mishnah. So hechakoi, hechakoi. So where did Rabbi Yochanan make this statement? Regarding what halacha? Hasamkoi, on the following Mishnah in Kiddushin, famous Mishnah, called Mitzvos Asei Shahazman Gramo. All Mitzvos Asei, all positive commandments that are time bound. Anashim Chayavin Menashim Peturos. Men are Chayiv and women are Peturos. Shelo Hazman Gramo, if they're not time bound, Echa Anashim VeEchad Anashim Chayavin. But if they're not time bound, men and women are equally obligated. Again, this only applies by Mitzvos Asei. Women are obligated in all Mitzvos Lo Asei, even if they are time-bound. But by Mitzvos Asei, we have this chiluk based on Psukim, and there are svaras given by some Rishonim, suffer now. But that's the rule. Mitzvos Asei Shalom Grama, women are Peturos. Mitzvos Asei Shalom Asman Grama, women are Chayavos. Aye, says the Gemara, there are a lot of exceptions to the rule, learned out from Psukim all over Shas. The Klalahu, the call Mitzvos Asei Shalom Grama, Nasha Peturos. Is it a rule that women are Peturos are exempt from all time-bound Mitzvos? Hare, Matzah. What about the mitzvah of matzah? Right, we know the first night of Pesach, at least, is a chiyuv d'oraisa to eat matzah. The erev tochlu matzos. The first night of Pesach. The rest of Pesach is a rishus. It's a kiyum ha-mitzvah, says the Vilna Gaon. And a chizkuni also in Emor. It's a kiyum ha-mitzvah, not a chiyuv ha-mitzvah. But the first night is a chiyuv. The first night you have to eat matzah. And we know that women also have to eat matzah the first night, based on the connection between chametz and matzah. The Gemara says, "Koshi yeshno b'chametz, yeshno b'matzah." Whoever's not allowed to eat chametz has to eat matzah. See, that's a time-bound mitzvah, and women are obligated. Simcha. What's simcha? Mitzvah of simchas yantif. The Gemara here seems to say that women are obligated in simchas yantif. This is a very controversial issue. If you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Davav, the Gemara's lashon is isha ba'ala mesamcha. Isha doesn't have an independent chi of simcha. Simchas yantif, it's my obligation to make my wife happy. Isha ba'ala mesamcha. And if you look in the Rambam Raivit, this is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivit. Again, if you have to put together a couple of Gemaras and see which Gemara is the Iker, and which Gemara has to be read in light of the others. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Chagiga, first halacha. The Rambam writes, he's talking about Shalmi Chagiga and Olas Re'ia, and in the last line, he says, HaSimcha HaMur B'Regalim HuShayakriv Shlam Yisrael Shalmi Chagiga. What's full Simchas Yantav according to the Rambam? That's Karbanis. As again, Tosva says, so according to the Rambam, it might not be Doraisa Bizman Azek, because full Simchas Yantav is with Karbanos. But says the Rambam, that's Simcha. Elohei Nikron Shalmi Simcha V'Nashim Chayavos B'Mitzvazu. And women are obligated, just like our Gemara says. Women are obligated in Simchas Yantif. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram, Lo b'karban, ela b'simcha, shetismachim b'ayla, shetala imo, v'hu yismachosa. That's the Simcha. Again, like that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And there's a big shagasari on this, whether about nashim b'simcha, but again, this is somewhat controversial, but either way, at least our Gemara is assuming that women are obligated in Simchas Yantif. So again, it's a Zman Grama that women are obligated in. Number three, Hakel. Hakel, you don't need any drushes. It's a mafurish pasuk, right? What did it say? Anashim, v'nashim, v'taf. Again, Hakel is Zman Grama. It's very Zman Grama. It's only once every 7 years, right? It's done at the end of Sukkot, after the seventh year of Shemitah. So all those are the mitzvahs of Zaytsev Zman Grama, who v'nashim chayavos. So how can you say there's a rule in Maseches Kedushin that women are obligated, are potter from all Zman Gramas? Here are three Zman Gramas that women are obligated in. The Kol Mitzvah says Shaloh Zman Grama, Nashim Chayavos. What about the second half? And all non-time bound? So if it's not time bound, women are obligated in all of them? I'll give you some examples that are not time bound, and women, again, are not obligated. Hare Talmud Torah. What about Talmud Torah? But the Mount Temple 7 is B'nechem. Right? So women are pturas from Talmud Torah. Just from Talmud Torah. As we've mentioned before, the Ramah says in Yeridea that women are obligated to learn all halachas that apply to them. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says in Aruch Chaim, women have to say Birchas HaTorah, according to some of the Farshim, because they have to learn what's shaykh to them. So all women have to learn is Aruch Chaim, Eben Ezer, Yoredei, and Choshen Mishpat. That's all they have to learn. That's it. We're mitzvahs HaShayach Slehem. So once they learn that, basically women have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. We have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula Plus. Right? Right now we have to learn Kachem and Tyrus also. When Mashiach comes, they're also going to have to learn Kachem and Tyrus. Right? Because that's going to be Lamaisa for everybody. So there are a few things here and there that women don't have to learn. But Lamaisa, you know, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kashrus, Hilchas Shvacha, Hilchas Onoah, Hilchas Ribbis. I mean, men and women, it's all Shayach Lehem. Right? Officially, women are tourists from Talmud Torah. Pirya Varivya. Right? We've had this before, that Puruvu, women are tourists from Puruvu, that's not time bound. And they are, tourists, they're exempt. Based on last week's parsha, based on a few pesukim, the chivshua, derech shel ishla lichvosh, vein derech shel isha lichvosh, or there's a sheet of the Tanaim that says women are obligated, but we don't pass in that way. We pass in that only men are obligated. We've done before the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Noach. Oh, this week's parsha, you can say it over on Shabbos. The Meshech Chachma says, lo rachoku lomar. It's not far off to say. Again, he's not saying this as a vaday, because lo rachoku lomar, that you have the principle in Shas a couple of times, durachah darchei noam, the ways of the Torah are sweet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us mitzvahs to make our lives miserable. All mitzvahs, it's to be mechazek us, and yes, he wants us to be serve him, but he doesn't want to make our lives terrible, and that's why, says the Meshech Chachma, there's only one day a year, midaraisa, that we have to fast. We spoke about this Shabbat Shuvah. Right, only one day a year we have to fast. Right, all the other four fast days are because of our sins. That's why we have a Tisha B'Av and a Tzom Gedalia and a Sarbat Teves. But from Hashem's point of view, there's only one day, Yom Kippur. Okay, because he has to give us one day to be able to do a Cheshvan Nefesh, but it's for our good. And even the one day he gives us to fast, right? We don't believe in Ramadan, like fasting for 6 months. Right, we have one day, that's it. And even the day before we have the mitzvah, he gives us a mitzvah to eat. Because he doesn't want us to feel bad. And he says, and for everything, the Gorm Chulin, he says, everything that's usher in the world, there's something that's mutter in the world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a lot, and so you find the principle of Duracher Zachi Noam a number of times used by the Rishonim in Yevamis and other places. So says the Meshech Chachma, maybe that's why women are pturos from Puruvu. Ultimately, he'll agree it's a Gzeras HaKasef. Fine. But maybe there's a time, because Puruvu, at least now, is a very painful, difficult mitzvah for women. Right? Men, the men do a little bit, but women have the bulk, and they have the pain, and they have the tsar for 9 months and during the labor. So the Meshech Chachma says Hashem can't be mitzvah that. He can't obligate somebody to go through such pain, such a painful mitzvah. Okay, bris milah is an exception. Maybe that's the mahus of bris milah. But here, okay, before chava, okay, don't ask me. But now, at least l'maisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew. So he says that's why he can't be. That's a partial time. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't be mitzvahed. The Meshech Chachma in the sixth parsha. At the end, he says that maybe that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu, to balance, because women are not obligated, he put into them their teva, their motherly nature to want to have children even more than men. To balance off of that, I'm a chuyev. So men are mechuyev, but women aren't mechuyev. So maybe they wouldn't want to have the children. So Kadosh Baruch Hu put into the teva of the bria that women have a much stronger yearning, natural yearning for a child than a man. That's all on Piri Yivrivia.
Yeah.
Why didn't the Gemara mention Shabbos? That's my grandma that women are obligated in. So it's obvious. It's also based on a limud like matzah. I don't know why it's not there. We're going to talk about another one that's left off the list in a minute. Upidyon HaBen. And Pidyon HaBen also women are pturos from. That's not time better than their pturos. Because the Gemara says only somebody who has to be pulled to themselves, can be pulled to somebody else. You see all these exceptions to the rule. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Don't learn from rules, right? The rule was Van Grama, Lo is Van Grama. Don't learn from that. Don't learn from that. There is a major discussion. We discussed it, I think, 2 years ago on Shavuos. What the definition is of Zman Grama. Does Zman Grama, there are different approaches in the Achronim. Does Zman Grama mean the time causes the mitzvah? The time is Mechai of the mitzvah? Or does it just mean that there's a mitzvah that takes place in a certain time? But lav dafka, that the time causes it. Right, there's a big discussion of a Ramban by Sfiras HaOmer. The Ramban seems to say that Sfiras HaOmer, the question, maybe it's a wrong girsa, some Achronim say, but the Ramban condition says Sfiras HaOmer is not time-bound, is not a Zman Grama. And there are 35 Mefarshim, what do you mean it's not time-bound? That's the most time-bound mitzvah you could ever have. Right, so the way some Achronim say that's not. So some say, it's connected to the Omer. So like the Omer causes it. So what's the assumption of that approach? No, the carbon causes it. No, that's the point. Even though it's within a certain time, but it's not caused by time. The Mechayev isn't the Zman. It happens to be in a certain Zman, but the Omer is Mechayev it. Or others say, Rav Ruchem Fischel Perlow suggests that no, maybe the point is that what's a time-bound mitzvah? Something that exists the whole year. And it's a mitzvah at a certain time, like lulav. If I shake a lulav today, it's meaningless. If I shake a lulav last week, it's a mitzvah. So the lulav exists the whole year, but only now it's a mitzvah. But if there's something that only exists at a certain time of year, counting from Pesach to Shavuos, that doesn't exist today. It's not between Pesach and Shavuos. That's not time-bound. That only exists at a certain time. Or the Shlomo Kluger says it by Kiddush Levana. The women have to do Kiddush Levana. There's a question, the Magen Avraham quotes a Shlach HaKadosh that says, no, that they caused the Pekam HaLavana. So it must be based on some type of Medrash by Chava. So that's why they shouldn't do it. But others say, is it a Zman Grama or not? So why didn't the Magen Avraham say it's a Zman Grama? Kiddush Levana, if you only do the first 2 weeks when the moon's getting bigger. Right, so that's the answer again. No! It's not that the moon's getting bigger isn't always around. That doesn't always exist. At the first part of the month, the moon's getting bigger, but that's not a Zman Grama. A Zman Grama is when the time causes it to be a mitzvah, but it always exists. So that's another example. Sfiras HaOmer, Kiddush Levana. Another, the big discussion is, what about a mitzvah that's always mechuyev, but it's not constant? For example, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Magen Avraham discusses this. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim might be mechuyev by day and by night. So it's the 24 hours that you're mechuyev in remembering Mitzrayim. That's why we say the third parsha of Tzitzis. Third parsha of Shema, we say Tzitzis. Because of that last line. So ask some of the Achronim. So maybe women should be obligated. It's not time-bound. But the Shakasari says, no, but it is time-bound. Even though it's 24 hours, there's no stoppage, but the day one and the night one, it's separate chiyuvim. Again, all of these are interesting discussions about Zman Grama. There's one more ha'ara, and then we'll continue. The action is more on an aleph here, so we're still okay. The Shakasari notes, another Shakasari, three Shakasaris relate to today's Amid. Shakasari says, why isn't the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah on this list? when the Gemara says that women are pturos from Talmud Torah, what about Mitzvah 613? Writing a Sefer Torah. It's a Mitzvah Daraisa we all have. So what about that Mitzvah? Why is it on the list? Harai says the Shagas Aryeh that the Mitzvah of writing a Torah has nothing to do with Talmud Torah. That's the Shagas Aryeh Shita. Learning, women might be pturos from, but they're obligated in Ksiva Sefer Torah. That is the Shita of the Shagas Aryeh, that women are obligated in Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Beis Halevi and other Achronim Arim says, no, what do you mean? So it's not on the list. But it's connected. Obviously, the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah, to write a Sefer Torah, is Talmud Torah. Isn't that the purpose? So therefore, the Beis Halevi, the Gemara doesn't have to say it even. The Gemara doesn't say it. It's known. Once the Gemara says that they're pturos from Talmud Torah, they're pturos from Ksiva Sefer Torah. This is a big discussion in the Achronim. How much is the mitzvah of writing a Torah linked to Talmud Torah? Right, it has to do with the Shita of the Rush. The Rush says that nowadays, who learns from Sefer Torah? Right, we put a Sefer Torah in the Aron. What do we learn? We learn from Svarim. We don't learn from Sefer Torah. So it says the Rush, Bizman Azeh, the mitzvah of Sefer Torah is writing Svarim. Unbelievable. That's quoted in the tour. Amazing. Achronim on both sides. Oh, he's a great Shita. He's a crazy, a terrible Shita. Right, not terrible, just in terms of Ksak. They argue with him. But so that's the Shita of the Rush. But again, that only gets off the ground, assuming that the mitzvah is Talmud Torah. If the mitzvah is like carrying on the Jewish tradition, the Mesorah of having a Sefer Torah, something like that, so then, you know, then you can't switch. The mitzvah doesn't change. Anyway, that's a big discussion about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara. Let's continue. So that was the first klal, which we said Rabbi Yochanan said his Shita by. Amar Abai in the middle. Another place where Rabbi Yochanan said his sheet about the cloud. O Kalachar Amru. Another cloud. The Mishnah in Zavin. Kol Shini Salgabi Hazav Tame. We know a Zav, a man who has some type of a mission for a certain number of days, for three days. He becomes a Zav. A Zav is Tame Mida Oraisa, and he is an Avatoma. First parak in Kalem lists off all the Tomos. A Zav is an Avatoma. So, kolshin isagabe azav, anything that is carried by a zav, tamei. That's tamei, tumas masa. The kolsha hazav nisa alav, but what if his zav is on top of something, not touching it? Let's say he's on top of 10 pillows. So then, tahar. Generally, what's under a zav is tahar. It's not tamei, because he's not, let's say he's not touching it. It's all the way under him. Except for chutz min aroy l'mishkav u'moshav. Except for what's called mishkav u'moshav. The Torah is mechadesh. That by zav, except by two or three tumas, generally not. Usually the rule is, whenever something is tameh, as we mentioned many times, when that tumah touches something else, that also becomes tameh one level down. If an av touches something, that becomes a rishon. If a rishon touches something, it becomes a sheni. Sheni to a shlishi, and a shlishi to a vi, by certain types of foods. That's the usual rule. If a dead body touches something, the dead body is the granddaddy. Avi avosa tumah, that makes something an ava tumah, an ava rishon. There's an exception to the rule. And that's Tumas Mishkav Umoshav. When the Zav sits on something, and it can be classified as something he sits on, or something he lies on. That's Tumas Mishkav Umoshav. The halacha is that what he sits on and what he lies on is also an Avatoma. That's the Chiddush. We'll talk about why in a second. It doesn't go down a level. It's one of the only exceptions. Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, there are two or three exceptions to the rule of going down in Tumah. That's one of them. So says the Mishnah in Zavin, if the Zav sits on anything, it's tar, except if it's roy to sit on. If you sit on a pen, it's not going to become tummy. The rule is, Tumas Mishkav Umoshav only applies to something that usually is sat on or lie down on. A bed, a chair, a pillow, something like that. A blanket, v'ha adam, or if a zav sits on an adam, also the adam, the person will become tamei. Rashi quotes the pasuk why. So says the Gemara. That's the rule in the Mishnah Zavin. So says the Gemara. V'su leka, is that it? Ha'ika, is that all? Is that it? Meaning focusing on the second line, that everything that is up sits on is tar, except for something that's roy to be mishkav u'moshav, something that's roy to for shchiva, for his lying down, and moshav for sitting on. There's another one. Says the Gemara. V'ika merkav. What about what he rides on? What about what he rides on? What about the cushion in his car? What he rides on? So says the Gemara, "Hi, Merkav Hechidami." What do you mean? That's a separate one. So what do you mean? What are we talking about? Idi Yosef Alei. If he sits on it, like the example I just gave, the example in the car. So Hainu Moshav. That's included in Moshav. He sits on it. You have to see something that he rides on too, but he sits on it. So the Gemara said, "No, Anan Hachi Kamrina." This is what we're talking about. Ha'ika Gaba De'uchpa. You have the edge of the saddle. Picture a horse. Remember, at the front of the saddle on the horse is always like this little thing that sticks up to hold on to. That the little hard piece of whatever material that is, leather. So that's what we're talking about. That's not too much Moshav. You don't sit on that piece that sticks up, but it's part of the Merkav. It's part of the writing aspect, and that's going to become too much merkav. Titanya, as the Brisa says, ha'okef tamei moshav. The okef, the saddle itself that he sits on, is tamei moshav, which is an avatuma. But tav is tamei merkav also, and the tuff was what he grabs onto. That thing in front of him is a merkav. So you see, merkav is a separate tuma, and it's not listed in the Mishnah. So elosh v'aminayin lemeidim anaklalos avid lakam shnei rabochutz. Right? So it must be you don't learn from rules, even if it says chutz. That's the second place where Rabbi Yochanan might have said a shita. There's a long grumba discussion and there's a zavim discussion. Just one ha'ara on this. That is, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos in Dibur Maskul Kol, Rabbeinu Tam Shita, against other Rishonim, is that even if you have something that's not ro'i to sit on, it becomes even though it doesn't become Mishkav and Moshav, it becomes Tamei the next level down. You're right, it doesn't become Tamei Mishkav and Moshav, but it becomes Tamei like other Tumas. It becomes Tamei the next level down. The question is, what's this Tumah about? All of a sudden, by Tumas Mishkav and Moshav, it goes across, it doesn't go down? Now, where does this come from? So at least a little bit, again, we can have a whole shiur on Tumas Mishkav and Moshav. I don't know if you'd want one right now, but it says the Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Lichtenstein has an article in the Sefer Zichron HaRav, which was put about 10 years ago, where he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, where he suggests as follows. By all tumas, tuma goes, I touch you, and then my tuma is transferred, and then you get the tuma. I directly are metame you. But suggests Rav Soloveitchik, when it comes to tumas mishka v'moshav, this is what happens. This is what the Torah is v'chadish. When I sit on something, if I'm a zav and I sit on something, I am not being metame that at all. All I'm doing is creating what's called Mishkav Azov, Moshav Azov. That's what I'm doing. Once I create that, the Din D'Oraisa says Mishkav Azov is Tamei Avatuma. That's how it could go across. Because generally, you can't have Tuma that goes across. If I'm an Av, I can't create an Av. The answer is, by Tumas Mishkav Moshav, I'm not creating the Av. The Lumdus is, how does it work? That I'm creating a Mishkav and a Moshav. Memela, the Torah says, Mishkav and a Moshav are Tamei Avatuma. But it's not that I'm directly being Matame and going across. So that's how it can work, because you're just creating a metzias. And the Torah says that metzias is an avat tumah.
What about Merkav?
What, Merkav too? Merkav too. Mishkav and Moshav and Merkav. All three cases. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ravina v'itema Rav Nachman afanan amitanina. We also said Rabbi Yochanan's shita about our Mishnah. B'chomar v'nu mishav v'chus v'namayim v'namelach. Our Mishnah said you could use anything for an Eruv or a Shituf except for water and salt. V'suleka. What about mushrooms? Right? Kamenu pitrios. Mushrooms also. The Pasha of the Gemara is that also can't be used for an Eruv. Just like water and salt. So it's not on the list. You're right. So you can't learn from klalos. You can't learn from rules. Even if it says an exception, there are always other exceptions. So there are three possibilities in the Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan said this by. Why can't you use mushrooms for an Eruv?
It's not born out of anything.
So it's not, what I'm trying to say, it's not born out of anything, right? No, it comes from the air. You could get mushrooms on your carpet in your house. It's not born out of anything. You could eat them. You can't eat them raw. If you could eat them raw, that would be a problem. Tosfos here says, Tosfos in the turning over Tosfos, Tosfos Ma'an, says you can't eat them raw. You'll have to be masaking them in some way, and that's why you wouldn't be able to use them. Actually, the Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnah, he says because they're not healthy. But they're not healthy, and anything that's not healthy can't be used for an Eruv. There is a girsa, if you look interesting, you see the aleph in the box, the aleph in the brackets, by Chuzman Amayim and Melach, that goes to the Vilna Gaon on the bottom. Hagos Agra, look what he says. Chuzman Amayim and Melach, Nir Be'enai, V'chulu. The Gra adds in a V'chulu. So what's he talking about? So V'chulu, obviously the Gra is saying here, is that he's saying that the line of the Mishnah is not going on the Eruv line, it's going on the next line of the Mishnah, the Meiser line. What the Gemara is really asking is on the Meiser case, that Meiser, my Malach are the only exceptions for Meiser Sheni, what you're allowed to buy. What about Kamenu Pitrios? That's also excluded. That's what it's talking about, because the Vilna Gaon says, and the Marav Ranchberg on the bottom quotes it, is that the Gra argues, the Gra says, no, by Erev you can use Kamenu Pitrios, B'manavshach, if they're already cooked, so then you could use them. And if they're not cooked, then they're included, so they're not unique, because there are a lot of foods that we're going to have later on, wheat and barley, if it's raw, that you can't use. So Gra doesn't think the Gemara here is referring to Erev. It's against the Rishonim here, because the Rambam and others seem to say that you can't use Kamenu Pitrios, right? Like we just said, that they're not healthy, even if they are cooked. But that's the Gra's V'chulu. You can say, what's the Gra adding in? Because he's saying it's going on the Meiser line. Hakoniga because of Meiser, anything could be bought with Kesef Meiser, with Meiser money, when you get to Yerushalayim, Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Chad Masi Erev, Chad Masi Meiser. We have a machlokes about we're about to have a chiddush, and there was a machlokes where this chiddush was said by. Was the chiddush said regarding Eruv, or was it said regarding Meiser? Chad Masya Erev. One said it referring to Erev. Lo shanu elamayim b'fnei atzmo, melech b'fnei atzmo. What are you not allowed to set aside with an Erev for an Erev? Water and salt separately. De'ein ma'arvin. Avon b'mayim u'melech ma'arvin. But salt, water, if they're mixed in, that's a good dip, and that can work for an Erev. Just water and salt separately would be a problem. V'chad masya meiser. And another opinion says it regarding meiser. Lo shanu, what are you not allowed to buy with meiser sheni money in Yerushalayim? Elamayim b'fnei atzmo, melech b'fnei atzmo. De'ein nichin. Avon b'mayim u'melech nichin. But water, salt, water together you can buy. So the machlokas is what it referred to. So b'nichem b'chesam meiser, ma detanya meiser kol shekena erev. The one who said it regarding meiser surely would agree that he would say it by erev because meiser has higher standards. If you could use salt water for meiser, if you could buy it with your meiser money, you could surely use that to set aside for an Erev. Oman demasniya Erev, but one, the one who said it, that it could be for an Erev, avala maiser sheni lo, my time of payer beinam. For maiser sheni, maybe he would agree that you cannot use it, because, as you need pre, something that's called a fruit, something that comes from something else, and therefore, it wouldn't be able to be used for maiser. Yes, Rabbi Yisrael Masiya Maiser. When Rabbi Yisrael came, he said this, that you're allowed to use salt water for maiser. Maiser, but we have a problem with that. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Lefira Blazer, Ben Shal Beis Abba. How you look and see your bekes of maiser? Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish said that my father used to buy fish brine, sear, with kes of maiser. Fish brine is like a salty substance that comes out of a fish. So amrulo, or they keep the fish in. Amrulo, shemalo shemata el kishigir b'dagam muravim behen. No, you must have heard only the fish brine that's allowed when you have pieces of fish in them. I mean, that's what you're allowed to use for with meiser. But plain fish brine, you know, without pieces of fish in it, so that you wouldn't be able to use. And even Rabbi Ben Gadish, who said just the fish brine would be allowed, even without the pieces of fish, at least you have the shuman, the fat and the oil of the fish, at least is mixed in there. But everybody in the story agrees, plain salt water wouldn't be good to be able to buy with kesem meiser. So I'm Rabbi Yosef. And you're right, when the Gemara said before that you're allowed to use salt water, it's only if oil is also mixed into the mixture. Okay, so then what's the chiddush? If it's salt water with oil, so then what you're really buying is the oil. You're not buying the salt in the water, right? So that's not relevant. No, the Gemara says, no, it is relevant. No, what you did was, you bought a salt oil water mixture, bahavla, for a lot of money, and obviously the money, if you would have just bought salt, if you'd have just bought oil, it would have been much cheaper. So you're buying something, and you're obviously also using meiser money to buy salt and water. So says the Gemara, that's the chiddush, that's allowed. Because that's bahavla. It's all one, it's swallowed up into one payment, and therefore we don't see every dollar going to a certain item. That's bahavla. And the concept that comes up in a number of places, comes up with Schar Shabbos. We spoke about this in Masechta Shabbos, about payment on Shabbos. You're allowed to do bahavla, you pay for the weekday also. That's how we pay caterers for having a kiddush. We're paying for preparation, we're paying for cleaning up. That's how you pay a babysitter. So lo tzricha, that's the chiddush here. So as long as you're paying it b'havla, one payment, that's what you're allowed to do. U'b'havla mishari, is that mutter? In the Gemara says, yes, it is mutter. From the following, v'tanya ben Bagbag Omer, ben Bagbag not only said something in Pirkei Avos, he also talks in Masechta Erevin. Ben Bagbag Omer, Bagbag says, ba'bakar, the pasuk says by Maaser Sheni, what are you allowed to buy? Ba'bakar, uvatzon, uvayayin, uvashechar. Those four words. So we're going to darshan, bebagbag, darshan something from each of those words. Ba'bakar, from cattle, melamed, so what is that teaching me? Shalokin bakar al gav oro. It teaches me that you're allowed to buy bakar, you're allowed to buy an animal with your maaser sheni money, even though, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, even though you're going to get the skin of the animal also, and the skin's not going to be kadosh. You're going to be able to use the skin for a chulin. You're allowed. You're allowed to use it. That's the chiddush of babakar. Uvatzon, what about and sheep? Malabi shalokin son agava gizasa. It teaches me that you're allowed to buy the tzon, even though the shearings, the wool is going to go to your pocket. That's also lefulin. Uba yayin and wine. Malabi shalokin yayin agav kankano. You're going to buy wine in a barrel, and the wine is only getting the kedusha. The barrel's not going to have the kedusha, but still, you're allowed to buy it. I don't know, is the wine's taste, does it get soaked into the barrel? Or does it relate to that? Maybe it has the tom of the yayin anyway. Right, that's the big cherry cask issue with the which we still have to have a shear on, but that's you don't want the shear on. Uvischar malamed shalochin teben mishehichmitz. Upa Shechar, I'm sorry. Shechar is also an intoxicating drink. This teaches me that you're allowed to buy temed once it becomes like vinegar. What's temed? Temed means when you have the dregs of the grapes at the bottom of the barrel, you throw in some water, and after a couple of days, it becomes a intoxicating substance. So Shechar says you're allowed to buy the temed. So the last line is the crucial one. Why? Because what's temed? It's mostly water. Yet you're allowed to buy that. If you were just buying the dregs, it would be much cheaper. So you're obviously buying that bahavla. And you see it's mutter. So that's the raya, that buying something bahavla with a ma'aseh sheni money is mutter. That's what Ben Bagbag said. Rabbi Yochanan, manda b'tagim li babakar li b'tibin bagbag. Whoever explains to me babakar, according to Ben Bagbag, movilna mani abasu l'bei masusa. I'll carry his towel to the bathhouse. Rabbi Yochanan says, because I'll be very impressed and I'll be his servant. Why? What's Rabbi Yochanan upset about? Because Rabbi Yochanan, as we're going to see in the next 15 lines of Gemara, we're going to see that he's going to say that Babakar, we don't really need the limud from Babakar. We know it from the other words in the Pasuk. So I don't really understand Ben Bagbag. That's Rabbi Yochanan's claim. How do you see it's extra? The following. So it's going to be about a 15 line, up until the second to last skinny line. Here we go. My time, huh? Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying this? Because you need all the words of the pasuk except for the word babakar, because that you don't need. My tzrichi. Why do you need all these psukim? Because if you look, I mentioned before, the first line of the pasuk says you're allowed to buy anything you want, and then it says, gives examples, babakar v'tzavayam v'shechar, and then again it says anything you want. So I don't have to give any examples for. Just say b'chol she tishalcha nafshecha, anything you want to buy. So all of them are kind of extra. So tzrichi, no, you need them. The ikaz rechman babakar. If it would have only said babakar, hava amina bakar hudim is davin agav oro. Only bakar you're allowed to buy, because then you have the skin, which is going to be chulin, mishum de gufehu. But you can't separate. That's obviously mutter, because you can't separate the skin from the animal. You buy it as one unit. So that's why the skin, you're going to be able to buy with the animal. Avotzon, agav gizasa, delav gufehu, emalo. But shearings, wool on a sheep, that could come off. Maybe you're not allowed to buy a sheep with its shearings, because that's not gufeh. That's not part of it's who it is, right? You shear it every year. So, lo, I would have thought not. That's why you need the second pasuk of batzon, to teach me that's also mutter. Because of Rachman batzon, agav gizasa, and if you would have taught me the chiddush of tzon, the sheep, have I mean mishum the mechubar ba. At least I would have thought that's mutter, because at least it's still connected to the sheep. Avol yayin agav kankano emalo. But wine in a barrel, maybe that's not mutter. So the barrel's not connected to the yayin, so maybe that wouldn't be mutter to buy. Kamashvan, that's why you have to have the word of bayayin. Because of Rachman bayayin, if it would have only had the third word of bayayin, have a minimishum the hainan itiruse. Then fine, at least the barrel guards the wine that's in it. So that's why it's mutter. Avol temed mishehichmitz. But this last case of throwing the water into the dregs, to kiyua ba'amahu, that's just water thrown in there. Amalo, I would have thought that's not guarding it or anything, that's a whole new bria, so maybe that wouldn't be mutter. Because of Rachman Sheikha, that's why the Gemara even has. The Torah has to say even the word Sheikhar to teach me this fourth Chiddush. But now we go backwards. So only say the last word, because the last word is the biggest Chiddush, so says the Gemara. Because if it would have only said the last word of Sheikhar, have Amina my Sheikhar to Vela Kilis to Peru. If it were only said Sheikhar, I would have thought that's referring to something totally different. There's a type of fig that the juice of the fig is intoxicating, and I would have thought that's what you're allowed to buy for my Sheshani money. But nothing to do with like the barrel or the Kiyua. But I wouldn't have known yain in a barrel. So that's why it has to say yain in a barrel too, not just the last word of Sheikhar. Because of Rechman Yana Gabi Kankano, if it would only have had the wine in the barrel, hide in a tirusa, I would have thought, because at least the barrel serves a function in guarding the wine. Abel Sona Gabi Gizasa Emalo. But so, a sheep with its shearings, the shearings don't guard the sheep, so maybe that's a reusa. That's why, because of Rechman Etzon, that's why it has to say Tzon, the filo Gabi Gizasa. Right? To teach me that even it's Gizos. So Babakar Lamali. So why did you need the first word of Babakar? If you want to say you need that, because you look at Rachman Babakar, if you wouldn't have said the word Babakar, have I mean it's on agave ora in agav gidasalo. If you wouldn't have said the word Babakar, then I would have limited the sheep case to the sheep skin, not the sheep shearings. But the Gemara says no, because why would the Torah have written the case of the sheep then? Right, because if it's not telling you the chiddush about the shearings, because of Rachman Babakar lasuye oro, I delete son lasuye gizasa. So maybe the reason it had to say bakar is to teach me the skin, so that the son can teach me the shearings. But it doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. Why? Because he looked at Rachman Babakar lo hava aminat son agava ore in agava gizasa lo. I wouldn't have thought the sheep case is just to teach me the skin and not the shearings. Why? The imkain, because if the chiddush of the Torah was just wanted to teach me skin, so give me an animal without any wool, without any shearings. Lift the Rechman a bakar. The Bemela isolates zone. Just teach me bakar. So then zone is extra. So you can't say that. Just with the word batzon, we wouldn't have known the shearings. It must be, we would know the shearings. So if a kizim because of Rahman, it's sown, that filo gabagizasa. So once you say the Torah writes sown to teach me even the shearings, babakar lamali. So what's the chiddush of the word babakar? Hashtet sown al gabagizasim is davda. If you could buy sheep along with the shearings, which go to chulin according to Rashi, bakar gabi orami boy. So surely the skin is even more mechuber. Hainu tekam Rabbi Yochanan. That's what Rabbi Yochanan meant 20 lines ago. Man de betagim liba bakar liba de ben bagbag mavlina manel be masusa. If somebody could help me out on the sending ben bagbag, why babakar is extra? So why babakar teaches? You don't need babakar to teach me that. You know it from the other word. You know I'll carry his clothing. That's why Rabbi Yochanan was upset. Period. Yes. Maybe you would have thought that you have to sell the R, but you don't have to sell anything else. You don't have to sell the gizos, which is even bigger chiddush. That's not mechubar. Why would R be different? Why would R be different?
If it just said sown, why? Maybe you think only the skin, not the shearings.
If it would have just said sown, would you have only thought the skin, not the shearings? Well, the Gemara says then it wouldn't have given the example of sown. If the chiddush of sown was just to tell me the skin, it would have been giving me an animal without shearings. Would have given an animal with just skin. It would have just said babakar and not batzon.
Okay, then how do you know the shearings?
But how do you know the shearing? It must be, but the fact that the Torah gives an example of batzon when it could have said babakar, it must be it's teaching me the chiddush of not only the skin, but also the shearings. That's the assumption of the Gemara. No, you don't need bakar. That's exactly the point, says the Gemara. No, says the Gemara, not true. That without babakar, why did it give me the example of batzon? Why didn't it say but just babakar? It must be that this is teaching me not only skin, but also gizos. Let's continue. But my kamiflagi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kadosh, Rabbi Blazer, Vadi Tanai Dil Kama. We don't answer that. Rabbi Yochanan, at least in our Gemara, didn't get an answer to his problem with Ben Bagbag. Now we're just going on something that we said before. What's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda ben Kadosh, Rabbi Blazer, Vahani Tanai Dil Kama? What's the machlokas between the Tanam that we had on the bottom of the previous Amud, who said that you're allowed to buy fish with Maiser Sheini money, and the machlokas was about the fish brine, and the following Tanaim, who are going to hold otherwise, Tani Tanai Dil Kaman, that they're going to darshin, that you can't buy fish, and you can't buy fish brine. So what's their machlokas about, whether you're allowed to buy fish or fish brine with Maiser Sheini money? So the machlokas is as follows, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kadosh Rabbi Blazer darshi riboy umeyute, Tani Tanai darshi klal liuprati. This is a general machlokas, right, we know that there are many tools in which the rabbis have to darshan the Torah. The Torah is encoded with the various halachos, and to decode it, you have Kal Vachomer, you have Zeir Shava, you have Hekish, you have Adavar Halavim Mein Yano, you have all the Rabbi Shmuel ones that we say in Davening. So two of them are Klalu Pradu Klal, when the Torah says a general statement, then specific statement, then a general statement, that's called Klalu Pradu Klal, or do you view that as Reba, miyate reba, in inclusion, in exclusion, in inclusion. You can have the same words, and some rabbis will think you should use klal prado klal, which has one set of rules, and others, rabbis would say, no, you use reba, miyate reba, which has a different set of rules. Klal prado klal is going to be a limiting, and reba, miyate is going to be an inclusing. So that's the machlokas here. Because it says as follows in the second wide line. First, it says you should put the money with anything that you want. Riba, that's an inclusion. That's an exclusion. The Torah continues and is barabbas something. So riba umiyat veriba riba hakol. So the final riba includes everything. My Rabbi kol mili, anything you want to buy, even fish. Umay miyat, what does it exclude? L'Rabbi Lazar miyat seer, only fish brine because that doesn't have fish in it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Kadosh miyat my mamelach. No, even fish brine is okay. It only excludes water and salt. That's if you darshan riba umiyat. V'hani tanoi darshan klal uprati. But the father tanashim say no. You don't use the riba umiyat tool. You use the klal uprat tool. The tanya v'nasad akad b'chosha devan achshacha. You should put the money with anything that you want. Klal. The rule is you only darshan something like the example given. So just like the prat is the examples given are fruit and gidule karka, grow from the ground. That's the only thing that you're allowed to buy with Maaser Sheini money. Right? So what's excluded? Fish are excluded. This relates to a discussion we had in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey with the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Ein Disha Ela B'Gedule Karka. That's what the Rambam says in Parachas of Ilcha Shabbos. Threshing is only B'Gedule Karka. The very next line says, the Rambam says that Cholev, milking a cow, is a Tolda Avdash, and you're Chayef Mishum Disha. The very next line. So the Rambam says, Ein Disha Ela B'Gedule Karka. Disha only by things that grow from the ground. And the very next line of the Rambam, he says, milking a cow is Gedule Karka. Milking a cow is dash. Or punching somebody, right? And chovel, the Rambam holds, is also dash. People and animals, right? He just said ink dizi abdul karka. So the Magen Mishnah there says, we spoke about it, that yes, maybe the Rambam translates gedule karka not as things that grow from the ground, but things that live off the ground. And things that live off the ground, people and animals also live off the ground. That's gedule karka. And that Gemara only excluded fish, just like this Gemara is excluding. That Gemara, fish are not gedule karka, they don't live off the ground. They live in the water. That's the only thing that's excluded. So to hear that that relates to this. Afkom primi gedule karka. The Gemara quotes another bright, v'tani idach, one more line, ma'aprat, maybe a different way to say the brisa, is ma'aprat mefurish vlad vlados haaretz. Maybe it's not primi-pri, but it's something that comes from two stages from the ground. Afkom vlad vlados haaretz. Gemara Bezer tomorrow is going to talk about what the difference is between these two statements. It is interesting that why would one set of Tanam Darshan Klalu Prat and one Darshan Riba Umiyat? Is that because they had a different Mesorah from the Revayim? Maybe it relates to a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosis, and Masechta Sukkah. One opinion is that Kal Vachomer you Darshan yourself and everything else you need a Mesorah from your Rebbe. The other opinion says that no, you could Darshan everything yourself except for Gzeirah Shavah. That's a Machlokas between Rashi and Tosis and Sukkah. So that relates to whether this Machlokas would be based on their own Svara or would be based on the Mesorah that they have from their Rebbe. Okay, we'll stop here. Today's Jews is Zechon Ishmael, Dov Sweet, and Dov Mordechai. Tonight is Shir, 2 Kedushin, 9 o'clock. Everybody is invited to attend.